we're going to talk about here the next qualification. We've already covered the bishop must be blameless. We talked about what that means, blameless. We talked about the husband of one wife. We went through that and discussed some of those things. All right? And now we come to this not being self-willed. I'm going to go through in another week, vigilant and sober, because that's in both of the statements that are there in First Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus. Okay, we see both of those in there. So now what we want to do is look at this. What does it mean to be self-willed? How specific, we're going to look at how specific the Bible actually is in the qualifications. Because you only ever hear most of the time of pastors and or people really, well, of course, you don't really hear a lot of preaching on this. Brother Bicey, was there a lot in Bible school, was there a lot of preaching on the qualifications? Did they talk much about them in your classes, or did they skim over it, or was it really like not a whole lot talked about each qualification? They didn't really break it down a lot? Okay. So they didn't explain them. Okay. Now, I've met some pastors that I respect even, but I don't understand where they were coming from. They said, well, if we waited for a man to have all these qualifications, we'd never ordain anyone. I've heard them say that. And listen, I understand a man as a young pastor or a young preacher is going to grow in these qualifications as time goes by. But he certainly shouldn't be a violator of these qualifications. Do you understand what I mean by that? He may not be mature because we're all still growing. I'm still growing through all these things and trying to learn. And so I don't think I've arrived at perfection in any of these areas. The point is that he should exhibit these qualifications. And he certainly should not go against these. He shouldn't be disqualified by not exhibiting any of these. Okay, that's very important. That we don't take these as grand suggestions from God. But that we look at them, we're like, okay, God holds these in importance. We should too. These are God's guidelines. These are God's qualifications for the office of a bishop. So we come to self-willed. So another way that we could say this is to be governed. He's not to be governed by his own will. A bishop is not to be governed by his own will. You know, first of all, there's a lot of people today that again, hate all authority, any authority figure, anything like that. They have a disdain and a hate for that, period. There's nothing you can do for those people except they repent. However, it is true that the bishop cannot be governed by his own will. It cannot be his will. It's not my way or the highway, okay? It's God's way or the broad way that leads to destruction. That's the way that it should be, all right? But that self-willed, it's an adjective of governed by his own will, not yielding to the will or wishes of others, not accommodating or compliant, but obstinate. So basically, the first definition we see of self-willed is governed by his own will. Nothing worse than to have a man in leadership or as a pastor to be governed by his own will. That he follows, this is what I want to see happen, and I'm going to see this happen, and I'm going to be led by my own will. By what I want, that's very dangerous. It can lead to a lot of problems, and does. We are not to be governed by our own will, but by the will of God. If a man has never submitted to the will of God, he should not hold the office of a bishop. He should not even be in consideration. If he is not obeying the revealed will of God that is right before him, how can he take care of the house of God? And I'm going to tell you, when you're young, there's a spirit that's in you that you want to keep pressing forward and keep moving forward and keep driving forward at any cost and for anything. That, and in things spiritual, I've seen men have that to where they become so self-willed that they are driven by their own will. You know, I know this, and I can teach this, and I can do this, and they just become consumed with that. The Bible says we're not to be governed by our own will, but by the will of God. A man in a position of authority in the house of God cannot be governed and led by his own will, but must be led by the Spirit of God. One man put it this way, not self-willed, not one who is determined to have his own way in everything. Listen, you've got to be able to have a discussion with people. You've got to be able to talk to people. You've got to be able to reason some things out and be able to deal with some things together and talk them out with each other. You know, I have to have my own way in everything, or I cannot suffer myself to be wrong about anything. There's a lot of pastors that are like that. They cannot sit down and have a discussion with anybody. They cannot do that. They cannot be wrong, Brother Finney. They cannot sit down and somebody cannot show them, clearly this is wrong. They can't do that. Right? They see yielding to the truth as yielding to the will of another man in the sense of, or yielding to an inferior. That's the wrong way to look at it. We must, as a pastor, you must live your, and as a Christian, number one, but as a pastor, you must live your life as, well, if I see the truth revealed unto me, then I must submit to the truth no matter where it came from. Otherwise, you become self-willed. So, just like in the point of time when it was time to look at 501c3. Somebody said, you need to check out Gerald Finney's book. Who's Gerald Finney? I didn't know who Gerald Finney was. But he said, you got to check out his book. Well, I read another book first, and then he sent me all of his books. And I read another book, and I was like, okay, well, wait a minute, there's some truth. Then I read his book, God's Church's Legal or Spiritual Enemies, which, by the way, every one of you should read. By the way, that's required reading here. Oh, I'll get it for you. We have it back there. We'll get it for you. But that needs to be read. We need to make that digital copy available, too, for people so they can get a hold of that. You know? Okay, yeah, we need to get it to them. And they need to, that's going to be a required book that you read. It's about 60 pages long. And it's really the crux of the issue of God betrayed, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's the best little booklet to give you that's where I point every pastor. If they call me, they talk, you read God's Church's Spiritual Legal Entities. I'm not going to talk to you anymore until you read that because you don't understand the issue. You got to understand it by reading that. If you haven't read it, you're going to read it before you leave here as a man here because it's important that you understand it, the issue. So I read that and I said, well, you know what? I can go with the flow of things or I can listen. Here's the truth in front of me. What am I going to do? Right. Most of the pastors that he dealt with wouldn't talk to him. As soon as they seen that, they shut it down. As soon as it affect their bottom line and their dollar, they shut it down. Yeah. But the Bible's very clear that we're not to be self-willed. And if some of you, one of the greatest tests you're going to have is right now living your life as a Christian, not being self-willed. Because you think you have it all figured out and the idea of where you're going to be and where God's going to have you and what God's going to use you for. And it's all, it's all figured out. It isn't. God will show you. I need some water. Oh, here it is. Thank you. God will show you exactly where he wants you. God will show you. But he's not going to show you before you need to know. And there's some lessons you need to learn first. Some of you have to learn it the hard way, though. I love you, but you're going to learn it the hard way, unfortunately. And it's not going to be painless. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't be self-willed. It's the will of God that matters. We have to first follow the will of God above all else. He must surrender and be submissive to God. A pastor must already be surrendered and submissive to God. That is very important. How the devil will use a man that is not surrendered to God. That word self-willed, it means properly self-complacent, and then assuming arrogant and imperious. The gist of the offense, very head in front, in that of being self-complacent, a trait of character which of necessity makes a man imperious, dogmatical, impatient of contradiction, and unyielding. Such a man evidently is not fit for the office of a minister of the gospel. A man that is self-willed will not only ignore God's leading, but will not listen to any man. He cannot be talked to, he cannot be reasoned with. He has his own agenda, has his own plan, and will have upward mobility in mind, not the flock of whom he has to be overseer of. He will push people to the max, push them, drive them like cattle, instead of leading them like sheep. Just drive them like cattle. Hit the quota, hit the goal, hit the big day. Got to keep driving them. The bishop must be able to balance following the will of the Lord, not compromising Scripture, and able to admit when he's wrong or listen to others who have good discernment and have knowledge in things and may have wisdom that God has given them. You gotta be able to, sometimes there's people that have some experience in things, and you can keep going down and ignore that. Be like, no, I got it all figured out. I can do it this way. Or you can listen. Not self-willed. This has to be one of the most important qualifications enumerated, despite the fact of so little attention being paid to it. Once a self-willed, opinionated elder is appointed, then his prejudices, his opinions, his judgments, and his vision become the automatic boundaries of the church's progress. See, if I led things and did things the way that I thought it was going to work out, and I thought it was going to be, and I just kept doing that when God was clearly showing me that was wrong, I wouldn't have seen the blessings of God and what he's done here. Would not have seen that. Because I had a way different idea. I spent the first few years of my ministry trying to get a building. I mean, kept trying. Another deal would be thrown at me. Then it would fall through. Another one would fall through. In fact, originally, before Old Paths Baptist Church was in existence or here, I was told that I may be going to Minneapolis. And there was a $2 million property there. All paid for. All paid for. What's that? Nope. Baptists were in there. Yep. And the building was all there. And the church had basically disbanded because the pastor was very old. And they turned over the property to the sending church that I was a part of. And I talked to the pastor. And I was like, well, maybe this is the Lord's leading. He goes, yeah, I was thinking maybe that too. And then, you know, we talked about it. And then he said, no, that's not the will of the Lord, and I'm not gonna put you there. And he put somebody else there. And I was kind of upset. Because I looked at that building being a major, you know, man, there's already a building there, and that means there's a, you know, there's, it's easy to have a church there. You know, so it worked out great. But you know, the temptation, that self-will, hey, that's what I want, that's to be better. And then here, when I came here, and then it was like we had all these building plans, and then we looked at the money, it's like, whoa, this would not, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Then there was like big, huge church buildings that we could rent or get really cheap, but the utilities were going to cost like 800 to 1,000 bucks a month probably by the time you got those old drafty buildings in the wintertime. And I'd be like, man, I don't know. That's probably not a good idea. Better pass on that. So many times, like 10 different things. We tried to broker deals in town here. They always fell apart. The guy wanted like way too much money. But you know, I eventually just stopped looking for that and stopped driving for that and just understanding that, you know what? We're fine right where we're at. Yeah. We'll be fine right where we're at. And it's a blessing to only pay. At that time, we were only paying $400 or $500 a month. $500 or $600 back then, but anyway, it was cheap. No utilities. No, that was it. But I couldn't be driven by that. I had to follow the will of the Lord. I could never, you know, follow through with any of those things because pushing it would have been my will. Trying to push it would have been my will. Trying to continue to push it would have been my will. Not self-willed. Not doing things in the worship and house of God and the ministry of the word and administration of ordinances according to his own will, but according to the will of God revealed in his word. Otherwise, what he does will come under the name of will worship, or obstinate, stubborn, and inflexible, conceited of his own sense and judgment, and resolute to have his own will and way in all things relating to the affairs of God's house. The word signifies one that is pleased with himself, has an overweening opinion of himself, and is proud and haughty and despises others. You know, one sign of that is that, you know, I always question my decisions when I make them. I always do. And probably to a fault, many times I do question my decisions that I make. And I'm always looking to make sure that it's not me wanting my will or wanting my way or wanting to push my agenda, so to speak, or make things better for me or comfortable for me. So I'm always trying to examine that and check myself and pray about that and make sure that I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do and what is right to do. Not so confident in myself and in my decisions that I make. Don't mistake in bold preaching for in leadership and other things that I am so 100% confident in my own self and my own opinions and my own decisions that I make. Because that's the furthest from the truth. Just because I preach that way doesn't mean that I lead that way and that I believe that. That I am not capable of making a mistake. One thing that you see in leadership is that no matter what decision you make, some people are not going to be happy with it no matter what. It isn't going to matter whether it's right or wrong. It's the way it works. And there's always somebody that can do it better than you. They're not doing it, but there's always... Right. He cannot put his, not being self-willed, he cannot put his ambitions and desire before the church. He cannot push programs and evangelism and everything to the max and drive people harshly and put pressure on them to work harder to see results and programs and all the things fundamentalism is designed to do. All the programs. Keep pushing forward. You know, sometimes you guys have ideas for ministries and you're like, oh, I have a great idea. Yep. It's great. I like ideas. That doesn't mean that we have the ability to see that idea through. Well, I would do this, and I know, because from your angle and from where you're looking at, you think it's a great idea. But I know how busy everybody else's life is. And I know the struggles of their marriage, the challenges that they have, the time they have to spend with their family, the duties that they have, the financial situations and pressures that they're under, and all these other things. So I have to weigh the the whole thing and look at the whole picture. And sometimes from your vantage point, man, this would be a great idea. I agree. From where you're looking at, it looks like a great idea. But from where I'm looking at, I've had a lot of people that they got great ideas of starting ministries and then they leave after they start them. Like, oops, that was a great idea. Sure was. Why'd you leave? Right? And they, I had some people, I got a crazy, we could do this and we could do that, we could do this, we could do that, and then they leave. Well, who's going to keep doing it? So you can't drive people like that and think, you've got to think about the whole picture, everything. It's like Sound the Battle Cry. It's like the stuff we do there. We had to step back from it for a while. Baptist Battle for Liberty, we had to step back from it for a while. Have to. Had some things that have to be done first. And, you know, you can't be self-willed. Believe me, I could continue it and keep going and push things and push things and push things and push things, but it'll be to the detriment of other things. And there's fallout with that. Because you put enough pressure on something, eventually the line's going to snap. That's what happens. And I'm telling you, man, listen, I'm just going to be honest. I could be on that radio on my computer in that office every day. I could do a program every day. Right now. Easily. I am not short on material. Definitely not. Not at all. With everything that's going on in this wicked world, with everything, I could sit there and develop those things and push those things and do those. That wouldn't be a problem for the material. It's the time. It's the neglect of other duties. It's the importance of things. It's not being self-willed. Because literally, I mean, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that watch it, and you keep getting bigger, and you can keep growing, and you can keep doing it. I mean, it's not, believe me, it's not hard to do if you know how to do it. But I have no desire to be that person. Because I don't want to push my own agenda and push people so that it just is good for me. But in the end, it's not really. Because then your family suffers. Your church suffers. People get pressed. You know? It's not the way God wants it to be. I've seen pastors push people to work their programs and keep them busy at the church house 6 days a week. I was one when I first got saved. That pastor had me there 6 days a week. I'm not kidding you. When I was supposed to get to know my wife that first year, 6 days a week. Drive, drive, push, push, push. He had like soul winning all day Saturday. Like the whole day. And you got to be. And then Friday night was like Reformers Unanimous. I was like, man, I'm no druggie. I got saved. What do you need this for? People would make stuff up to go into the class. Like, I'm addicted to chocolate. Well, so am I, but I ain't going to no class for it. Give me a piece of chocolate. Addicted to chocolate. Give me two. Addicted to chocolate. Man, if I was a brawler, I'd slap you. Addicted to chocolate. So it's like, I'm addicted to coffee. I'm addicted to... I mean, they were addicted to everything. I'm addicted to television. Well, break it. Break it. Yeah, just break it. Get a sledgehammer, bust it, and then you're done. You ain't addicted anymore. Stupid. They just get saved. They wouldn't have to worry about it. goofy. I don't believe in Christian addicts. I believe in repentance. But anyway, this pastor would push 6 days. Why? He was self-willed. All the time. Pastors have to be mindful of the workload of their church and not be self-willed and implement programs that the brethren cannot handle. You don't want to be like Pharaoh and not provide the straw and expect the same results. Right? Literally, that self-willed means self-pleasing, unaccommodating to others, harsh, the opposite of a lover of hospitality. So like Nabal, self-loving and imperious, such a spirit would incapacitate him for leading a willing flock instead of driving. There's a difference in leading people and driving them. I don't have a checklist for like, well, you didn't show up to street preaching this week. Except Garrett. I have one for him. But you didn't show up, Garrett. Nah. Why? Because that's not leading people. That's driving them. That's not leading people. I was under that the first year of my marriage. I know what that's like. I hate that. I don't think people ought to feel guilty about spending time with their family. Amen. You should never feel guilty about spending time with your wife. Amen. In fact, some of you need to make sure you're spending time with your wife. Right. Some of you probably aren't and should be. Amen. Right. You shouldn't feel bad about spending time with your family. Like that's like a sin or something. Amen. My goodness. How stupid is fundamentalism as a system anyway? Ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I'm not talking, before I get a bunch of hate mail from people, I'm not talking about the fundamentals of the faith. I'm talking about a movement that drives people. Believe me, I've been a part of it. I'm talking about the Hiles Anderson, Jack Hiles form of fundamentalism that has crept through and is controlling, Paul Chappell and all those other guys. I'm talking about the big, huge, fat Baptist churches out there that they drive people. I'm talking about people that have come to this church that were a part of those fundamentalist-minded movements where they're not even spending time with their wife. They're not watching her. She's not being nurtured or she's not growing in the faith because what are they out doing? Soul winning, door knocking, handing out tracts all the time, driving the beast, driving the system. The system's got to be driven. You got to keep moving. You got to keep doing stuff for Jesus. You got to keep going. Meanwhile, all your families lack and everything else. Children grow up resenting it. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, your wife is left behind spiritually. She doesn't grow. Not encouraged. She's discouraged. The difference in leading people and driving them. Big difference. Some of you young men better listen. Because you're not being driven here. You're being led here. I don't control anybody here. I don't try to control anybody here. I'll lead you. I'll help you. But I'm not going to try. I have no desire to control you. I have no desire to force you or make you. Please, give me a break. I don't have time. I don't have time for it. I don't want to do it. I have no desire to do that at all whatsoever. That self-will, one that pleases himself, proud, stubborn, confident in having a high opinion of his own person, parts, judgment, or humor, for all that this the word signifies. Not self-willed. He should not be one of those self-loving men who seek to gratify his own personal ends in the first place, and in consequence is usually regardless of others. Don't care about other people. No, you just keep going soul winning. Soul winning fixes it all. Just go soul winning. See, it is. Jack Hiles said that in his book. Soul winning will fix anything. No, seriously, he said it, for real. I'll show you. He said it, yeah. Soul winning fixes everything. Any problem in your church can be fixed with soul winning. It's not. But, I mean, he didn't need to use that or anything. But that's how they managed, too, though. They drove people. Look at their bus routes and their number of bus routes and their programs and everything else. I'm telling you, they are the definition of self-willed. But they do it under the guise of the ministry. But they sacrifice their families on the altar of ministry. Ken Hovind's the same way. Man, if you want a picture of somebody self-willed, it's Ken Hovind.
Yes, sir.
That's the picture of the self-willed man. Right there. Because
yep.
Playing with dinosaurs is like the ultimate. That's like the most important thing.
Yep.
Dinosaur Adventureland is the most important thing. So let me just move on and marry another woman.
Yeah.
Don't shed any tears over the last one. Just keep moving.
Yep.
Yeah, 9 years in prison and don't spend any time with her. Hit the road. Got to go preaching. Sure, I'll have a bunch of hate mail for that one. That video still gets like, it's got like 10,000 or more, and those people are still mad at me. Yeah. I mean, they're mad. They keep finding it, and they just get it. They never give me a scriptural argument for anything, but they just get mad. Yeah, they do cuss me out. Yeah, exactly. Because they're all, they follow Kent because of his liberty fighting the IRS thing, which you don't win fighting, by the way. You waste a whole lot of time in your whole life fighting the IRS. He's probably going to end up in jail again in another year or two. He's probably going to go back to prison another year or two. Because he probably won't listen to sound advice and instruction to stay away from. And by the way, that's not a church. Dinosaur Adventureland's not a church, and he's not a pastor.
Right. Amen. Right.
All right? So there's a difference in that. God protects his church when they organize according to scriptural standards and according to what we have the benefit of in the United States, the First Amendment. Right? But that's not a church. That's an amusement park, sort of, or something. I don't know. It's a business. Which we don't need. Just like we don't need Ken Ham's stinking huge ark. I thought they didn't give him the money for it. Well, either way, it's a big old Viking boat. But anyway, he must not be self-willed, not stubborn, addicted to their own ways. He must not put his own ambitions before his family and have two lives, one professional, one personal. Should be the same man in and out. Shouldn't treat the ministry as a career that he uses people to ascend to where he wants to be. Nor that he neglects and ignores his family and adds more things onto his workload and cannot. That's why, you know what, a few weeks ago I said, okay, you know what, I got to stop doing some stuff. I'm going to get off social media and knock that off. You know, and focus on some things. Why? Because they need attention. By the way, I must say I'm kind of enjoying that. Yeah, it is nice. Especially, I'm glad I'm off there. I'm serious. I'm so glad. Oh, man. It's just, I'm just glad I'm not on there. I mean, I'm glad I'm not. I just post my sermons and that's it, but I am so glad I'm not on there. It's about, I mean, it's just, praise the Lord. All right, so that's what self-willed means. Now we're gonna pop offline here, and we're gonna talk about this, and I'm gonna have you give me some examples of that possibly, and then we'll talk through some of these things. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you do for us, and Lord, we just pray that as we discuss this, that we would do it with your honor in mind, Lord, that we would obey the scriptures in all things and be able to rightly divide them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.